Our scripture reading for this Lord's Day is from the Old Testament book of Joshua. I am sharing with you chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 14 through 18. If you wish to, you are welcome to follow along in your Bibles. Joshua chapter 24. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites, who lived in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I have a news flash for you. Our kitchen toaster died. It bit the dust, it kicked the bucket, it gave up the ghost, however you want to call it. And why is this worthy of telling you today? Well, let me tell you something else. Our toaster was over 40 years old. Over 40 years old, right? I must say the last couple of years has been rather dicey, though. You know, you put the toast in and somehow the coils on only one side of each slot really work. So you get your toast to pop up and then you'd have to flip it to toast the other side. But we dealt with that just fine, just fine. Oh, well, a couple of weeks ago, though, we realized the end was imminent. We put down the lever on the toaster and it didn't pop up. Last I knew, burnt toast on one side. It really wasn't a thing. It wasn't a thing. So, you know, we had a big problem. We had to say goodbye to our toaster of 40 years. Now, that in and of itself, it was really quite sad. It was. It was a toaster which was the best thing since sliced bread. Good one. Thank you, Robert. but it had persevered all these years, and, you know, I'd become quite attached. But the problem also in saying goodbye to it was then what we had to buy, another toaster. And there's just a dizzying array of choices. I mean, when you buy a toaster, you have to think about, okay, what is the size of the slots that I need? Am I going to do bagels? Do I want those that feature that says you can reheat and or you can just warm up? Or what about, you know, the electronic touchpad kind? Those are pretty cool. And then there's the one that has the pop and peek feature. You know about the pop and peek? You can pop up your toast. You can look at it to see how it's going. You can put it down again, and it won't go through the whole cycle again. It will just keep with the cycle it was in. I mean, really. But wait, there's more. You can actually buy a toaster that has these stencils. You know about that? So that you can imprint designs on your toast or words. You can wake up, put your toast in, and then read your toast. Good morning, friend. They really do exist, let me tell you. They really do. Okay. Well, when it comes to a plethora of choices, I can be easily overwhelmed. I'm one of those that can go to a diner, you see that huge menu, I don't even want to open it up. I know the kinds of stuff I like, and I'm just going to order standard fare of some kind, and I know it's going to be something that they can create just fine. In fact, it's gotten to a point when Allie and I go out to lunch, and we're in a diner, and there's one of those huge menus. I say, Allie, just order something for me. You know what I like. She always gets a little annoyed with me, and sometimes I actually do it to annoy her, but we won't tell her that. We really won't. So anyway, we did get a new toaster. I know you're glad to hear it. It's so basic. It's so underwhelming in its design. I doubt, though, it will last close to even 40 years. And I have to admit, I'm going to miss our old Sunbeam for quite a while. It had that kind of vintage quality to it. Making choices, making decisions. There's always a lot of them out there to make, right? And many of the choices we make, they lead to one other choice, and then still another one, and still another one, and we feel, there's so much weight to all of this. Many of the choices are hardly worth noting, but some of them are really, really big. Do you know that researchers from Cornell University say that we make 226.7 decisions a day on food alone? On food alone. We actually make 35,000 or so decisions that can be called somewhat in our conscious awareness. That means we also make a lot of decisions that are deep down in our unconscious life. And so decisions are the order of the day. I think about the ones that, you know, have the most significance. Choosing a toaster is a far cry from choosing who to marry, right? Or buying a house, taking out a mortgage, or whether or not to own a pet. There are those choices that feel big. They are kind of those choices that make everything else that's smaller feel a little relative to them. There are those choices that actually we make, and then they make us. They make us. Certainly, you know, who we are going to marry, that as a choice, it makes us, fills us with all kinds of growth opportunities along the way of married life. And nobody would ever say, oh, I'm exactly the same person I was before I got married as when after I've gotten married. And we're going on, Tom and I, 40 years this fall of marital bliss. Yes, it is. So I know of what I speak, right? So there are these choices that make us. They significantly make us. And that is certainly what leads me to talk about that choice above all choice. Every choice that we can make, that single choice that truly, truly makes us more than we could ever imagine. That single choice that truly makes us in life. And that's quite a statement, right? So we're called to reflect on this as we look at the Old Testament passage from Joshua for today. We are called to look at the most important choice that we will ever make, and the one that makes us, and by making us, I mean that influences us, that shapes us, that acts so powerfully in our lives, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it transforms us each and every day. Joshua, he lays out the choice point blank to the people. Choose this day whom you will serve, he asks. Are you going to serve God or not? Sort of that age-old question, put a different way, to serve or not to serve. And that's a choice. That's a choice of greatest significance beyond any and all choice that we can make. And that's the choice beyond any and all choice we can ever make that truly makes us. To serve or not to serve. It's never both. Right? It's never both and. No. Joshua says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's your choice, he says to the people. That's your decision to make too. So why is this so significant for him to say at this particular juncture? Well, think about it for a moment. I mean, God's people have come a long way. They've come out of the land of Egypt in slavery. They've come through the Red Sea. They wandered in the wilderness. They followed Moses. Moses at this point is long dead. They ended up in the promised land. Joshua, of course, had resumed where Moses left off. He wore the mantle of leadership. Battles were fought, especially with the inhabitants of Jericho, and battles with other cities. Land was then divided among the tribes. And Joshua here is nearing the end of his life. And so it is time to renew the covenant made at Shechem. And Joshua knows the temptation is still there to follow other gods, the gods of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Canaanites, and so on. I mean, that was always a constant and consistent and reliable issue for them, an existential issue. Do I follow other gods, or do I follow the God that calls me to serve in a way that is beyond any other form of service in life? And for us still, you know, that's a constant, reliable, existential issue as well. We no longer talk about the gods of the Amorites or the Hittites or the Canaanites, but we talk about other gods, and typically those gods are mentioned time and time again, and they have been by preachers immemorial, and they will be by preachers long after Wilson Memorial Church even exists. Not that that time will ever come, but it is an age-old subject, right? And typical contemporary gods with a small g are always mentioned. Money, right? Materialism, the god of politics, the god of self-interest, the god of individualism. We can choose, and we can choose the choice that we want to be made by? Who has our best interest at heart anyway? What really brings life so that we can have it abundantly? What brings freedom of a grounded and eternal nature built on an undying love that pulls and pulls and pulls at our heartstrings, recreating us to be better people each and every day? And when have any of those gods with a small g ever loved us back? You and I know that no one has ever been loved back by money, materialism, any of the other gods out there. That's just laughable. So in the biblical sense, freedom always has a very specific meaning. It's freedom from in order to have freedom for. Freedom from what enslaves, which confines, and that which keeps us in a tight little box with very few possibilities, and freedom for abundant life, grace-filled life, life filled with love and service and joy. In the biblical witness, freedom is freedom that makes you then, that creates you to be all that you can be. And you know, talking about this, let's reflect even more deeply about it, can feel very un-American. Americans love choices. For Americans, freedom is all about how many choices you have and freedom to do and be and go wherever you want and pick out whatever you want. Just yesterday, we had this interesting conversation, some of us, at a family gathering, and it had to do with those big refreshment things that you find in different food establishments where you can pick out the exact kind of soda that you want. You've all seen those. They've always intimidated me because I think, I'm not going to be able to choose just the right thing. And will I know what to do? Will I make a fool out of myself? But you can choose caffeinated or not caffeinated, seltzer. You can choose different forms of Coke, different forms of beverage. You can mix your own. It's a whole thing. I learned yesterday those machines cost $35,000. The next time you are at one of those, think, I am punching a machine that costs $35,000. An example, ready-made example of how we love choice. Economy is just built on choice. But choice has a very different meaning in the biblical witness. It's the choice of what you can decide so that that choice can make you and help you be your best self, help you be your best self for others, to serve others, and to serve the world. And that is the true expression of freedom. I just adore this analogy that was given by Professor Clifton Black. He actually teaches as a professor of biblical theology at Princeton Seminary in Princeton. And he's used this idea in this way. He talks about those old-fashioned, they were called redemption centers. And this was before we had all the recycling ways that we have today. And I don't know if you remember this. I remember in my area, we would go in the early days of recycling to the redemption center and take our bottles, and we would get like 5 cents for a bottle of empty bottle of Coke. And then that bottle of Coke would be recycled and become reused to be another bottle of Coke. It was a whole different kind of system. Well, I guess in Clifton Black's experience, they went to the redemption center with those bottles, and instead of getting money for the returns, what they actually got were tickets. And as a child, you could save up these tickets, and when you got a certain number of tickets for all the bottles that you brought in, you could get a prize. And so he was getting all the bottles that he could so that he could get a certain number of tickets, because he had his eye on one prize, and it was a large teddy bear that was in this glass enclosed case that he saw every time he went to the redemption center. Finally, he got just enough tickets. He gave them to the man. The man ceremoniously behind the counter unlocked the glass cage, handed him the teddy bear. And of course, he just latched onto it like it was the best thing he ever got in his life. He hugged it really close. On the way home, he put the teddy bear, he says, in the seat next to him in the car, and he put the safety belt on him, and he kept that teddy bear under his watchful eye. That's really all there is to the story. And yet you think about what that bear can represent. That bear represents being let out of a confined space, a closed, enclosed, tight space where there just aren't any real choices for real happiness. And set free, the bear then can be loved and cared for under other watchful eyes. And so think about how this actually connects with your life. We are lifted out of the confines of closed spaces that actually keep us enslaved, spaces that are so narrow and so small, and we find ourselves free to fully embrace the love that never, ever lets us go. Making that choice to be freed in that way is the choice that makes us. It makes us in ways that are grace-filled, makes us in ways that truly help us be all that we can fully be in this life. So, remember Joshua's question, choose this day who you will serve. To God be all glory and praise forever. Amen. Let us pray. Ever-living God, life is filled with so many choices and decisions to be made. May we truly think about the choices that make us, and help us choose you as the one we serve, knowing that all other choices underneath that are just simply relative. Help us as we seek to be the people you call us to be, in Christ's name. Amen.